Welcome to the Drip Drop Hour with your host, Robert Littell, where no topic is off limits and the power of positivity reigns supreme.
Don't you dare be sour! Clap for the new day and feel the power!
It's a new day. Yes, it is. I got me a new pair of glasses. I didn't used to wear glasses. I used to have perfect vision, 20/20, could spot a dime 100 yards away. And my vision was solid all through college and my early 20s. Then I started working at places where you stared at a computer 8 to 10 hours a day. You stare at a computer 8 to 10 hours a day, that's going to mess with your eyes. And I remember one day, because I never had any vision problems in my life. I don't even think I had went to the eye doctor in years since I was like a kid. One day, I was driving to Kansas City to visit a friend at night, and I almost drove into a ditch because everything, my peripheral was all jacked up and stuff was looking blurry. It was all messed up. And I went to the eye doctor. I'm like, hey, man, I got 20/20 vision. I've had 20/20 vision all my life. And he's like, nope, not anymore. He's like, what do you do for a living? I was like, well, I work at the call center. Like, yeah, that'll do it. And you stand. And see, this was, you know, before like the MacBooks and stuff where everything was like a HD screen and all that good stuff. This was the big desktop Dell gateway days. So that messed up my eyesight. And then as I got older, I leave the call center, but then my job essentially is writing about, sports and entertainment. Not 8 hours a day now. Now we're like 16 hours of the day. Staring at a laptop, staring at dumb tweets and all of this other type of stuff. Now, thankfully, my vision isn't like blind vision. I don't have to wear my glasses 24/7. Just at night or when I'm driving, just makes it a little more crisper, a little clearer, not very blurry. But people always say, why don't you get contacts? Why don't you get contacts? You should get contacts. You look good in contacts. You know why I don't get contacts? Besides the fact that I don't need the glasses 24/7. The reason I don't wear contacts is because, have you ever met someone that wears contacts and been around them a lot? What ends up happening? They lose a contact. The thing is floating around in their eye and they can't find it. They have irritations. If one contact comes out and the other one stays in, you got like double vision. Like, no, I'm not putting stuff in my eye. My glasses are fine. I will look like a professor if need be. And I know some chicks dig it. So the glasses stay. So you'll see new glasses when you see me out in the streets, on Snapchat, on Instagram, maybe on TV. You'll see the new glasses. You have to tell me what you think about them. So where should we start today? Where should we start? You know, I got a bone to pick. I have a bone to pick. I'm picking bones. We live in Trump America now. That can be a bit depressing. There's a lot of serious things going on. And we have to talk serious about stuff. Because it's a lot of issues going on here. A lot of uneasiness in our country right now. But if all you did all day and all night was just focus on the problems and work yourself in a frenzy and make everything into some sort of political statement, that'll drive you crazy. You need some pettiness in your life. You need some foolishness. That's why there's a place for the love and hip hop and the Real Housewives or whatever. That's why there's the WWE. That's why there's sports. That's why people do Photoshops and memes, or memes as I like to call them. you need an outlet. If not, you go crazy because things are not that great. So that's why when Future and Lil Bow Wow showed up at the Falcons Seahawks game, I thought it was great. Very, very great. You know why? Because we need some pettiness. And see, the fun police and the people that just simply don't have a sense of humor, they have to point out the obvious because that's what prudish people do. Yes, we know Future's from Atlanta. Yes, we know Lil Bow Wow likes to show up at these type of things to prove that he's still relevant. We understand this. We understand that if it wasn't the Seahawks, at least in Lil Bow Wow's case, he likely would have still been there. And Future might have still been there. Now, the point of the matter is, though, if Future and Lil Bow Wow is there and they're playing the Lions, nobody would care. They would say it may be mentioned once or twice, and that was it. But the fact that the Seahawks were there and Russell Wilson and Ciara and Baby Future, that's petty. And sometimes petty is good because it gets our minds off other things. Yes, we know Ciara doesn't play in the game. Yeah, we know that. It's okay. Can still get these jokes off. Now, let me have one caveat with that. I don't believe in name calling. And I don't believe in, you know, cursing and stuff like that. You shouldn't call Ciara a hoe. Ciara's not a hoe. We don't know what Ciara has done in her life. What we do know now is she's happily married. So you can't be a hoe for getting married. I mean, come on now. That's a little much. So I don't think you should call her, you know, names and stuff like that. Now, if you want to put Purple Rain emojis on her Instagram, you know, that's petty. I don't have a problem with it, though. That's not hurting anybody. Your feelings, you know, shouldn't be hurt by a purple umbrella. But let us be petty. Let us have some fun. It's an outlet. Let us put the Jordan cry face on whoever we want to put it on. If the Falcons would have lost, the Jordan cry face would have went on Future. They won, so, you know, Purple Rain emojis. That's just how it goes. Don't be so sensitive, especially when it has nothing to do with you. You know, and that goes both ways. So you shouldn't be calling, you know, Ciara a bitch or any name calling. I mean, that's harsh. You don't know that woman. But you can still get these jokes off, though, both ways, in a nice, polite manner. Now, I know asking you to be nice and polite on social media is a bit of a stretch. I understand that. But I'm asking you to, A, not be the fun police, and B, if you're part of the fun, let's keep it fun, not make it personal. Because that's what life is all about. Sometimes it's about being petty. Now, you know, it's different being petty in as opposed to doing, you know, really mean things or evil things, you know. But making a Photoshop of Russell taking L's with the glitter, that's just petty. That's not hurting nobody. Come on now. I heard somebody say, oh, it's predatorial. He's a predator. No, he's not a predator. He was at the Panthers game last year. These are grown people. He's not a predator. He's not showing up at their door in the middle of the night. He's not, you know, waiting at the locker room to punch Russell Wilson. You know, he's not begging for her back. This is not predatorial. Let's use our words properly, people. He was invited. He's a celebrity. He was on the sideline. In his own city. Come on now. There's nothing predatorial or dangerous about that. Petty, yes, but not dangerous. Let's just be real. Let's just be real. Hate the fun police, man. They found Derrick Rose. That's good. Since he went AWOL last week. Played in a couple of games since then. The interesting thing about Derrick Rose is, and fans are predisposed to just believe whatever athletes and media tell you. And it's not so much that they're lying, it's just they're not telling the entire truth. So they get good at it. So you can never really say that they're lying in that sense. If you think about Derrick Rose, he says he had to go see his mom. That's 100% true. He did go to see his mom. But here's where it gets all tricky. You know, when they ask him, well, why didn't you just call or text somebody and let them know that's what you were going to do? Well, I needed some space. What type of space did you need? I thought you were going to see your mom. There's plenty of time between you deciding to go see your mom and getting on a plane and driving, and, you know, they got Wi-Fi, you know, on flights and stuff, you know. Plenty of time to text or call. I just didn't want to talk to anybody. Okay. Simply text emergency with my mom, gotta go. I'll let you know more details later. That took what? Less than 5 seconds, right? So that's why it's a lie. Or not telling the entire truth. There's more to the story, but we may never know. You may never know. Because people just tell you partial truths. The Knicks are just a dumpster fire at the moment. And it's been like that for a while. You know, I think Carmelo's a good guy. I think he made some mistakes when he was a young guy, and he's matured, and he's a decent person. And I don't say that lightly, because we don't know these guys, and a lot of them not good people. They may seem like good people, but they're not. But I think he's a good guy. But it's hard for me to feel bad for him, because he's had opportunities to leave. He's made some mistakes, not necessarily from a business perspective, because he's gotten his money, but from maybe a flexibility standpoint, in the sense that when Wade and Bron decided to take shorter extensions so they could become free agents sooner, Melo took the longest extension. Instead of waiting to become a free agent so the Knicks wouldn't have to give up a bunch of stuff to get him, he wanted to keep all his money, so he forced the trade, forcing the Knicks to give up a lot of assets and draft picks. When he had the opportunity to leave the Knicks and possibly go to a contender, be it the Heat, be it the Rockets at the time, I think also the Clippers were looking at him, he chose to re-sign for the maximum amount for the Knicks. And he has a no-trade clause, so he can't go anywhere. Or I should say, they can't move him unless he wants to be moved. He'll be a free agent in a couple of years again. He's on the back half of his career. You know, he's not in his prime anymore. Still a good scorer. Still can shoot. But he's not the guy that is going to transform an organization or a team. So if I'm Melo, if you don't want to you don't want to get traded, and you want one more big contract, you may have to just wait it out another year. You'll be a free agent out the next season. And then you got to go to, you know, the best place that's going to possibly get you a championship. And it might be, you know, so wherever LeBron is at the time. Because to me, there's no guarantee that LeBron stays in Cleveland for the rest of his career. It's possible. I mean, he's, you know, no pun intended, he's the king there. But I can definitely see a scenario where someone like Carmelo, maybe Chris Paul, and even Dwayne Wade is on a short contract. They figure out a way to get together. Or at least some of them. But see, that's the thing about New York. Yeah, you get all the glitter and the glam, but if you don't have the ring, you know, people are going to talk about you the same way they talk about Charles Barkley And you don't want that. You hear about the girl in New York, 12-year-old, 13-year-old girl, that picked her up some McNuggets on her way home from school and was getting on the subway, and then one of her classmates, who was 12 years old, pulled a gun out on her for a McNugget, and she just slapped a gun out of his hand like, dude, you better get out of my face with that, and then got on the train. That's New York for you. That's how they are in New York, speaking of New York. But it got me to thinking, you know, because my first thought was, man, you know, 12 years old, taking the train, slapping guns out. When you're young, if you think back, most of you, maybe half of you, I don't know. But I know I know for myself. When I was younger, that age, man, we would be doing some stuff that you would never do as an adult. In regards to, you know, taking bus rides and just walking in different neighborhoods and just kind of all type of stuff. Because that's the first thing I thought. Oh, man, 12 years old taking the subway. But then I started thinking when I was 12, which would make you what, like in 7th grade or so, 7th or 8th grade, 12, 13, 7th or 8th grade, I was walking home from school and it wasn't a short walk. I was taking buses, regular buses, you know, where you actually pay money. And then walking home, miles. That's why I was so skinny. That's why kids in general are skinny. Well, at least the kids of my generation. I don't know about the kids of this generation. They just sit around and play Minecraft or whatever and listen to their Apple Music. But in my generation, you know, we walked a lot. Couldn't afford cars, so we just walked, took buses. And I guess, you know, in New York, that's just, you know, that has nothing to do with your economic background. I mean, just you could find a businessman and a poor, you know, homeless man on your train. I'm good at taking the trains as long as it's, you know, not multiple trains. Like, I can do A to B. When it starts getting like A to B to C to D, then, you know, it gets a little rough for me. But I have a good idea of where I'm going. Easy way to figure it out, though, if you're going to visit and you're a little nervous about it. And it took me a second to figure this out, but somebody explained it to me, and so I always explain it to other people. So if you're out of towner and you're going to New York and you want to take the subway, first off, you know, your phone actually does help you out. This is one of the few times I can say, you know, your phone is so intricate that everything is like, dang, everything goes through the phone. But yeah, this is one time where you pull up Google and you say you want to get to this place, to that place, and the map comes up and it actually shows you what trains you have to take. But this is very simple. Wherever you're at, so let's say wherever you're starting at, say you're starting at 14th Street, or you're starting at Times Square with 42nd Street, or you're starting at 34th Street, or you're starting way uptown at 100 and something Street, right? It's very simple. Wherever you're going to go, if the numbers are going down to the street, you want to take a downtown train. If the numbers are going up from where you're at, you know, you want to take an uptown train. Now, even if you take the wrong train, as long as you're going in that direction, you'll be close to whatever you're trying to get to. What you don't want is to be going in the opposite direction, which is obviously putting you farther away. Make sense? So if you're on 14th Street and you want to get to 42nd Street, you're going uptown. So pretty much any uptown train will drop you off around Times Square. If you're on 59th Street and you want to go to 34th Street, you want to take a downtown train. See? Up, down. See how easy that is? If you do that, even if you get lost, you'll still be in the vicinity of wherever you're trying to get to. So even if you take the wrong train and maybe it doesn't have your exit, so say you got on a train that left on the 14th but didn't stop at 42nd. It may stop at 50th. So all you gotta do is walk back down or turn back around and take one train down. What you don't want to do is you don't want to be you know, on 14th Street, and then next thing you know, you're somewhere over in New Jersey or something because you didn't take the right train. Understand? That's my travel tip of the day. So everyone knows by now that Nicki Minaj and Meek Mill have broken up, right? She announced it on Twitter. He threw some subliminal shots on Instagram. You know how that's how things work in 2017. You break up and then you start bickering on social media. She showed up on the NFL Network with Lil Wayne. But whatever. I don't want to talk specifically about that stuff, the bickering. What I do want to talk about, because I think it's important, especially for you young listeners of the show. It's very important for you young listeners of the show. The potential reason for their breakup, or I should say the straw that broke the camel's back. Because it's never the last thing that causes the breakup. It's just the last thing on top of a bunch of other things. So supposedly, Nicki and Meek were on vacation for her birthday. And he was hanging out with his boys. Now, I don't know why he brought his boys on him and his girlfriend's birthday. That's a totally different issue. But obviously, she had an issue with it. And they got into an argument. And she yelled at him. And the yelling got to the point where he was like, I'm out. I'm gone. And that was pretty much the end of it. And a lot of people, first off, they made the jokes because Meek, you know, yells in a lot of his songs, if not all of them. But I always try to tell people what media people and what artists do. That's not them every day. You know, for example, Stephen A. Smith yells on TV every day. I've been at places where Stephen A. Smith has also been very soft-spoken. Skip Bayless doesn't necessarily yell, but, you know, he says preposterous type of things. He's animated, so to speak. I saw Skip in a restaurant. He's a very nice guy. Very regular, talk to you just like you would talk to your waiter or waitress. So just because Meek yells a lot in his songs, that doesn't mean that he's a yeller, like in real life. He's not like walking around like Busta Rhymes, who actually, you know, talked like Busta Rhymes when he wasn't rapping like Busta Rhymes. So that was the first thing. Second thing is, oh my God, you know, these guys. I can always tell guys that haven't dated very attractive women because all of those guys say things like this. They say, Nicki, you can yell at me 24/7. I wouldn't care. Only a guy that hasn't dealt with a high-level woman would say something like that. Because if you've dealt with a high-level woman, a very attractive woman, a very smart woman, a very rich woman, a very powerful woman, you know that the things that attracted you to them and what attracts them to others is totally different once you already have the girl. And what I mean by that is, those women from the outside looking in are dream girls, right? Oh, I would love to be with Halle Berry. I would love to be with Robin Givens. I would love to be with Drea. I would blah, 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 whatever. All sounds good, Jennifer Lopez, until you actually get them. Because then you have to deal with them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And I don't care how much you love something, how much you want something or wanted something, you try to be with it all the time. Eventually, A, you're going to get bored. And B, all the little things that nobody else gets to see, you're going to have to deal with all the time. I once had this. Let's say she was a King magazine model. And I dated her for a while. Now, she wasn't like a yeller or anything. She just was a very bad person, like a very mean and not polite to people, just not a good person. Eventually, you know, it fizzled out. And people are like, oh, my God, you know, you were dating the King Magazine girl and you just let her go. It's like, you'll see. And then eventually, King Magazine girl gets with some other guy. And the guy that she gets with, he thinks that he's, you know, has like a one up on me. Kind of how Meek did Safari, right? And, you know, this is a long time ago, so don't try to figure it out. You'll never figure it out. I was maybe like 22, 23, long time ago. You can try to figure it out, but you won't. And so the guy really thought, you know, he had something. And I say maybe about 2-3 months into it, he hits me up, and all he says is, I understand. He didn't need to say anything else. I knew what he meant. There have been far too many young ladies, and I'm sure it works vice versa for girls too, but I'm a guy, so I can only speak from a guy perspective, that once you get them, you think, you know, it's the end all be all. And if someone just looking from the peripheral, looking on the outside, it's like, man, that's a lucky guy. But you don't know the hell that they're going through. Now, granted, Meek probably cheated and did some other things. But trust me, you know, having someone constantly yelling and nitpicking and nagging at you and just making your life miserable, no matter how famous or how good looking she is, gets old. I've known guys, friends of mine, that actually have went from dating like 9s and 10s who were just bad women or annoying women or not smart, and just they've downgraded it, but not in the sense of, you know, just because the girl that they got with is not attractive or as attractive. It's just they just decide to get with someone that they're more compatible with, that doesn't get on their nerves 24/7. So she may not look like a Nicki Minaj, but you have peace of mind. And trust me, peace of mind is worth a lot more than you think. Just being able to just not have to worry about certain things. I can't tell you how much peace of mind is worth. It has no value. Now, there's a trade-off. Like I said, I mean, there's an attract, because a lot of these girls are very good in bed. So even though they're getting on your nerves and making your life miserable, you know, 95% of the time, that 5% is very good. So you have to, and there's, you're, see, that's the thing about people. See, online, people want you to think that it's, everything is black and white. Like, you either have to like this or don't like that. You have to like, you know, everything is either or. But humans in general are not like that. We have a lot of things going on in our head. We make a lot of dumb decisions. We make a lot of smart decisions. We don't think all the time. We have different emotions that's pulling us. There's a lot of things going on in our head. So your brain could be saying, this person is very bad for you, and map out all of the reasons that person is bad for you. But then your heart or your dick leads you right back to that person. Just the way it is. It's just a gray area. But peace of mind, once you get it, and if you can kind of harness your carnal desires, you realize you just be better off. And I'm not saying Nicki Minaj is a bad person or anything like that. I don't want her. What are they, Barbies? Are they still Barbies that they call them? Just saying. From the videos of her dealing with Safari, I can understand, let's put it like that, why Meek doesn't seem to be the brightest guys of all time, but could be like, you know, I tried. Because I understand what Meek is dealing with in the sense that you got to think of your perception and things like that. You know, especially with us. See, most of it, we don't have to deal with that. Nobody cares who I'm dating. Nobody cares who you're dating. You know, you could date like 7 people. Nobody cares. Nobody cares what I'm doing. Just give us for the bros and some nice, you know, stories, right? We don't care. Nobody cares who I'm talking to. But, you know, when you're a celebrity and, you know, you got sponsors and stuff like that, and maybe your record sales are attached to whoever you with, you know, you got to take that into consideration. Business. I'm not trying to say that Beyonce and Jay-Z don't love each other, right? But a divorce is not in their best business interest. Kanye and Kim are probably at that part right now. They probably can't stand each other at the moment. But it's not in their best business interest to get a divorce. Sometimes there's business decisions to be made. So my overall point for the ladies and the fellas is try to give you someone that gives you peace of mind. Sometimes that may not be the one that you or desiring on Instagram. Could just be someone that works at the grocery store. Don't know. Open your mind up to other people. Because that peace of mind in the long term, your overall happiness and your sanity is more important than the sex and the immediate gratification or whatever you're getting off of this person that's really a horrible person and driving you crazy. The Cowboys lost. And social media rejoiced. The Cowboys are like Floyd Mayweather, the Lakers with Kobe, LeBron with the Heat. You can say a little bit like the Warriors now. When they're good, a lot of their fans come out the woodwork, very passionate. Some could say a little arrogant, a little over the top, a little crazy. Just depends on what adjective you want to use. So when you have that perception about you, what happens is when you lose, social media reacts. And they react swiftly. So it depends on your perspective. Is this a good thing or a bad thing? To me, it's a bad thing. And I tell you why. Because you want to build up the drama, right? You want to build it up. It would be like if the Warriors lost to the Thunder last year. Yeah, they would have got slandered. But it wouldn't have been the same type of slander as blowing a 3-1 lead in the finals to LeBron. It just would have been a different type of slander. And so the Cowboys losing early, yeah, they got it. And it's going to be talked about for a few days. But it's not going to have that lingering effect that you get when you actually make it to a championship. See, that's the major key. And it doesn't matter if you're a Cowboy fan or a Cowboy hater. Either way, you want to get to the championship, or the Super Bowl in this case, for the ultimate payoff. Either as a fan, it means that, you know, if you win, you can talk trash, you know, for the rest of the year. And if you someone that don't like the Cowboys, don't like their fans, if they lose in the Super Bowl, you can literally extend out that trolling for like a whole 6-7 months. Practically, you know, through next season. Like the Warriors, you know, best team in the league by record. And they still are being made fun of. every loss that they have is magnified. They may end up being something like 68-13, 68-14, 69-13. I think I'm getting these numbers wrong. 69-13. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Right? Yeah, that's right. Something like that. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if they win 65, 66, 67, 68, 69, 70, 71. It doesn't matter. They could have went 82-0. Wouldn't have mattered. The trolling was going to continue until they get back to the finals, if they get back to the finals. And if they get back to the finals, they got to win or to just be double for the next year on. So that's why I don't think it's a great thing, at least if you're in it for the jokes, that the Cowboys lost. Because they're going to get trolled for the next 2 days, but then eventually we got to start talking about the Falcons and the Seahawks. So we have to move on. And the Cowboy fans have to move on. I know a lot of them are sad. I mean, think about it like this. You're a Cowboy fan. The Super Bowl is in Houston, so it's not that far away. Assuming, let's say you do get back to the Super Bowl, or you get another chance next year, then you got to go to Minnesota. It's not exactly the same. So I feel their pain, but I also take part in the jokes, because that's just what it is when you're the Yankees, the Cowboys, the Lakers, the Knicks. That's just how it goes. If the Patriots lose to the Steelers, same thing is going to happen to them. To a lesser extent, if the Falcons lose, it's going to be a bunch of Jordan cry faces on Matt Ryan. That's just how it goes. It's just amplified when it's the Cowboys. That game was not a game that was lost because of Dak Prescott or the rookies. Cowboys made some mental errors coming off of the bye. There was some suspect refereeing at the beginning of the game. And they got behind. Which isn't unusual for bye week teams. Then you try to play catch up the entire time. By the time that they got it in gear and really started playing like the Cowboys of the entire season, It just ran out of time. Or I should say it didn't run out of time. They gave Aaron Rodgers too much time. That game goes to overtime. And let's say the Cowboys won the coin toss. It's likely that they win. They just had more in the tank. But they gave Aaron Rodgers too much time. I don't know who suggestion it was to spike the ball on first down when you have two timeouts. But in the end, the way that they kind of played it with the clock just gave Aaron Rodgers enough time. And you don't want to do that at the moment. Because even with his receivers in and out, rookies, guys that never play, guys that have never produced at a super high level, wide receivers turn running backs. He's getting it done. Their defense is not great. It's a lot of shuffling going on. But when you're a good quarterback, you can overcome some of that. And I thought Dak Prescott, if there was any doubt that he should be the starting quarterback for the Cowboys going forward, I think that's erased. Many quarterbacks would have cracked under an 18-point deficit, and he didn't. Speaking, though, of Cowboys, how about the legend, 38? Now, I've been telling you guys for years that this guy's the best player in the NFL. He's the GOAT. Deion Sanders, Rod Woodson, Ronnie Lott, all wrapped into one. And for whatever reason, stupidity is what I call it, for whatever reason, Cowboys don't like to play 38 in the first quarter, first halves of games. And we've seen it over and over again. Once 38 gets in the game, the defense becomes totally different. Aaron Rodgers hadn't been intercepted for like 17 years. 38 gets in the game, gets two interceptions. One was taken away from him, which could have ended the, you know, put the game into overtime. He, you know, he has the big sack that almost ended the game. So 38 almost won the game single-handedly for the Cowboys. But penalty, some other calls, Aaron Rodgers started going away from him because he was scared of 38. Because he's the legend. The GOAT. Night Train Lane reincarnated. Aaron Rodgers was scared, man. Scared of 38. Literally the only person on that defense making big plays. The game was over. There's no way we have that ending if not for 38's interception. Rodgers had an open man. At worst, it was going to be a field goal. 38 gets that interception, changes the whole momentum of the game. Starts putting the Cowboys on his back, and they rally around the legend. You guys better put some respect on 38's name. It's the greatest player of all time. They already have his bust in Canton. And I'm pretty sure I'm going to be the one that's you know, doing his inducting. I'm going to be the one speaking before he gets up there. Because I believed in the legend. Fifth round draft pick. No one thought that he was going to be what he was going to be. But I knew. Because I can spot legends. I see it before everybody else. And I saw it. I saw the skills. Transcending football. And maybe because he's so great, that's why the Cowboys don't like to play him so early in the games. Because if they played him early, I mean, every game would be 40 to nothing. So that's probably why. Falcons going under the radar. I told you guys before the playoffs even started, my picks for the Super Bowl were the Falcons and the Patriots. I thought the Falcons was the best team in the NFC in the sense that, not record-wise, because Cowboys get full credit by record, just using my eyes, I just felt that they had the more complete team. Cowboys have one Ezekiel Elliott, which they really should start using more in the pass game as far as outrunning routes, similar to the way the Falcons use Freeman and Coleman to actually run routes. Dez Bryant did come up big finally, so maybe he won't be mad at his critics or whatever this week. But I like the Falcons. And I think the thing about the Packers is they're hot, but they're expending a lot of energy just to get to this NFC championship game. A lot of people dinged up, a lot of people hurt. Wide receivers, cornerbacks, O-line, D-line, everybody's kind of dinged up. This is for the Falcons to take. And I think they're going to do it. I think this may be the year for Matt Ryan. It's just something seems right. Let's see how that goes. As far as the Chiefs, oh, actually, before I get to the Chiefs, I want to say something. And this goes out to athletes. You know, because they're athletes, they don't have a lot of respect for the media. You have to remember, the media is 90% old white men, and the majority of athletes are young black men. And there's just this inherent disrespect or this, just like regular black people with white people, just you don't trust them. You wonder what their motives are. And I get that. But I'm also a part of the media. So it's very important that athletes need to understand that the media has a job, just like they have a job. There has to be mutual respect on both sides. Sometimes you're not going to like the question that you get. And I'm not a big proponent of all that cursing and stuff at media people. If you curse at me, we're going to have a problem. Because I'm not cursing at you. I'm asking you a question. If you don't like the question, that's fine. You don't have to answer it, or you could just say, I don't like the question. You don't have to curse. And I've told a player that before. He said, hey, man, look, that's fine. You don't have to chill with all the cursing. I'm a grown man. Don't curse at me. And I don't have any balls, so I can say whatever I want to say back. But it's not, you know, things like Michael Bennett, when you're calling people MNFers and all of that stuff. See, that's disrespectful. When you're saying stuff like, you know, you don't know what somebody, you know, you're questioning what adversity they've been through, not even knowing that this person has overcome cancer. It's a little bit harder than football. See, don't do that. The Seahawks overall, honestly, have been assholes this year. From Richard Sherman to Michael Bennett and others. Not all of them. Russell, of course, maybe because of Sierra, he always seems fine and happy. But Pete Carroll got to get a hold of that. Because these guys just can't say and do whatever they want to the media, and there's no repercussions. And that goes for all athletes. I understand. Trust me, I'm in the locker rooms, I'm in the media rooms. I understand that you get tired of answering the questions. They're the same type of questions. Some of them are horrible questions. I get it. I really do. Because I'm right there listening to them like, yeah, this is a pretty stupid question. But it's just part of the job. Just get it over with. Go about your day. We all have things that are part of the job that we don't like. I don't particularly care for writing about Kylie Jenner. But hey, I got bills to pay. Gotta do it. You know, last week, I wanted to write a couple of editorials about a couple of things on my mind. I just couldn't. There was too much other stuff going on. I didn't have a lot of help. So I had to suck it up and write what I had to write. I didn't have time to sit and write a 1,500, 2,000 word editorial. Just no time. Show respect. And it goes both ways. And if you're a reporter, don't be an asshole either. Because there are asshole reporters too. Trust me, I've seen them. Mike Lupica. Just ask your questions. Try to keep it even. And players, don't curse people out. Just answer the questions. That's just all. Sing kumbaya and try to get along. Now to the Chiefs. Only thing that was guaranteed in life over this playoff weekend was that Andy Reid wasn't going to have timeouts when he needed them. Andy Reid treats timeouts like leftovers. He don't like to leave them hanging around. Tired L? I understand. It was supposed to be a big ice storm. No ice came. Me and L stocked up on food and supplies. Thinking we were going to be stuck in the house the entire weekend. And no. It didn't happen that way. There was no ice. Just some light rain. So the big ice storm of 2017 was for naught. Didn't happen. So yeah. Andy Reid, no timeouts. Chiefs needed some timeouts at the end of the game. Didn't have them. And they lost. Lost to a team, didn't score a touchdown. That's hard to do. It's very hard to do. So you got classic matchups next week. You got the Patriots. You got the Steelers. And maybe the Falcons and Green Bay are not a classic matchup, but still a very good matchup. You got some good quarterbacks. You're talking Rodgers. You're talking Matty Ice, you're talking Tommy Uggs, and Bathroom Ben. I think it's going to be a Patriots-Falcons Super Bowl. That's been my prediction. That's what I'm going to stick with. Nothing that I really saw is going to change that. But it wouldn't shock me if it's Steelers and Packers, which would be a rematch Super Bowl. Steelers-Falcons, which would be a new one. Either way, because of the quarterbacks that are involved, when you know the pairing comes out, it's going to be a pretty interesting game. It's not going to be one like, okay, I know who's going to win, like right off the bat. And a lot of the last few Super Bowls have been like that. As while teams like the Patriots and the Steelers have been good for, you know, a long period of time now, the balance between the conferences are a little bit better. So when we get to the Super Bowl, we don't exactly know who's going to win. It's not, you know, like, okay, Dallas is in the Super Bowl. Back in the day, Dallas or San Francisco, you just knew. There's no more 15, 16 point underdogs. I think if it's something like the Patriots and the Falcons, you know, the Pats may be 3-4, maybe 5-point favorites. It's not going to be anything outrageous. You're not going to see any 10-point spreads. Who do you think is going to make it to the Super Bowl? It's been a few weeks, but I'll be headed off. I'm going to be doing a lot of things. I'm going to try my best to do the podcast while I'm on the road. I'm going to try. You get one more podcast with me here at home in St. Louis, but then I'm going to be on the road for like 12 days. I mean, we're talking about boxing, Super Bowl, Royal Rumble. It's going to be a lot of stuff going on. You have to follow me on Snapchat. You'll know everything that's happening. It's going to be interesting. I've been stuck in the house since, you know, November. That's pretty long for me. I like to hit the road. So when I hit the road, I hit it running. I'm going to miss you, L. I'm going to be gone for like 12 days. You going to be okay? I can really tell that you're concerned about it. I honestly think, L, just even if you just ran away, if the family that took you had bacon, you would forget about me in like 15 minutes. I honestly believe that. A couple of things before we get out of here. Be careful with your social media, with your live streams. I don't want you to get caught up like Antonio Brown. It's the reason it's called live, because stuff is happening. There's no edits. Sometimes you overhear things that you wasn't supposed to hear. Don't be live streaming at your crib and be some panties in the background. And your girl is like, who panties is that on the Periscope? Who's panties on that on the IG live? Why is there another toothbrush in here? I think I see a strand of hair. Don't underestimate women. They're like, their vision gets real, real good when they're looking for other women. So I don't want you to get caught up. More funny than anything, catching Mike Tomlin calling the Patriots assholes. But also, I thought it was funny that, you know, he's like, lay low, stay off social media, et cetera, while real-time social media was going on. That's funny. But that's where we are. And I understand. We have these expensive phones that do all of this cool stuff, and we want to use all of this cool stuff, especially if we are somewhat known. You want to give people a peek into your world. Yeah, I get it. Just be careful. You don't want to get in Antonio Brown's case. You don't want to get fined. You don't want to give Tom Brady any extra motivation or anything. So you can show the shoulder dance or whatever. Let's wait till after the Super Bowl. Then you win the Super Bowl, you can live stream the entire thing. Doesn't matter. There's no more games. Warriors got their win back from the Cavaliers. Not a big deal. It's the regular season. Nobody cares. the regular season is just good for watching stats and highlights and buzzer beaters. I can already tell you what's going to happen in the NBA. The Cavaliers are going to be in the final, barring LeBron getting shot or kidnapped. The Cavaliers are already in the finals. Just that's it. There's no, the only, like I said, the only reason to watch the Eastern Conference is for some good highlights, maybe some buzzer beaters, some crossovers, you know, things like that. But, you know, for actual competition, it's over. Maybe the drama like in New York, but it's over. The Cavs are going to be in the finals. On the Western Conference, not quite as clear. Still got San Antonio. Houston is looking pretty good. The Clippers have talent, even though they always are hurt and can't seem to get it all together. And you can't take a team, unfortunately, like Memphis seriously, because while they're a good regular season team, you need stars to win in the playoffs. So there's a couple of teams that could shock, maybe upset the Warriors. It's not a done deal, but it's still a high probability with the team that they have that they're going to end up in the finals too. So, yeah, the regular season means nothing. I think, if anything, it just kind of keeps some of the noise down around the Warriors. They don't have to answer all these questions about the Cavs and the losing streak that they've been on. I will tell you this. When it comes to those two teams, the margin of error is much less with the Cavaliers. Like, the Cavaliers have to play at optimal levels to beat the Warriors. Now, obviously, they can do it. They did it in the series. They won four games. They needed some luck. They needed a suspension. They needed an injury. But that's never an excuse. You win your championship, that's your championship. Just like it wasn't an excuse when the Warriors beat them and they didn't have to deal with the Cavaliers at full strength. So the margin of error for the Cavs are smaller. You know, the Warriors have so much talent, and then they added it on, you know, with KD, that they can play a little sloppy, play a little bad, and still, you know, win games. Now, we've seen that, you know, while they do have a greater margin of error, that doesn't mean that they can't be beat, because they was. So don't overreact to that game. Don't overreact to anything. Just wait to the finals. Save all of your good tweets and all of your good Photoshops to the finals. No need to waste them on the regular season. Lastly, Monday was observed as Martin Luther King's birthday. And holidays like that and Black History Month, you know, I recognize that, you know, they're holidays. And because of that, people are going to say a lot of things. I understand that the Black History Month is going to say a lot of things. But for someone like Martin Luther King, to me, that's something that you should be showing every day. You know, if you spent the last 11 months railing about Colin Kaepernick and Black Lives Matter and peaceful protest, and, you know, you've been railing about that, you know, for the entire year, and then on Martin Luther King's birthday, you're posting a picture and saying he's such a great man. You know, that's fake. That's, that's not right. You know, if you're a Black person and you've been doing everything in your power to demean Black women, Black men, Black people in general, and then is, you know, then you want to post the, you want to put Martin Luther King in your Avion. No, I'm not feeling that. It should be an everyday, you know, thing. We're not perfect, but overall, you should be doing a little better. You know, I think sometimes the years pass and we romanticize what happened in the civil rights movement. This was not an easy time of it. This was not fun. No matter what Deuce Bigalow tells you, the civil rights wasn't won in 1968. And it hasn't been won in 2017. It's a tough time. People were getting killed and shot and murdered and assassinated, their heads blown off. You think this? You know, you think Martin Luther King would say this and say that or whatever? Go look at they're out there. Go look at those, the real shots, the real photos of him getting shot and killed, murdered, just because he wanted equality. Yeah, think about that next time you want to tell, you know, your joke or want to say you're pro-Trump.
You've been listening to the Drip Drop Hour with Robert Littell. You can follow Robert on Twitter at BSO and keep up with everything in the world of sports and entertainment by going to blacksportsonline.com. See you next week. Same bad time, same bad channel. I do my dance like drip, drop, drip, drippity, drop.